Okay, so now Krishna says, what happens to a person who is free from this? You know, somebody says you have to be free from lust, anger, and greed, and the person says, why? Why should I? So Krishna answers the why in the verse number 22. Etair vimukta kaunteya. Tamo dwarai stribhir naraha. Acharatyatmana shreya. Tato yati param gatim. So Kaunteya, he calls Arjuna Kaunteya because he was Kunti's son. So he calls him Kaunteya. Arjuna, etair vimukta, one who is mukta means free, vimukta means visheshena mukta, completely free. It's not to say, you know, I don't get angry all the time, but once in a while I get very angry. No, Muniji who came to Bharti's house said it so strongly. He says, never, anger should be completely avoided. Because anytime you get angry, what it does is it burns you and it burns your surroundings. So, etair vimukta, completely one who is free, because also as we had said, one leads to the other. They are all connected. So, one who is free from these, and what are they? Tamo dwarai, these are three doors to darkness. Tama means darkness. So, these three doors to darkness. Three bhi naraha, so an individual, a human being who is free from these three, what happens to him? Acharati, atmana shreya. His activities are for shreya. Shreya is a very beautiful word. Shreya, actually even in Kathopanishad it comes, shreya and preya. Preya is what I do that I like. I want, I enjoy, it's for me and myself. It doesn't matter whether it hurts anybody, that is called prayer, where I do for myself. Shreya is what I do that is good for me and good for society. See, that's why you are asking now, what are the kind of desires? Whatever I am doing, if it is good for me and good for others, that is called shreya. That is what one should lead to. So he says, one who gets free from these three doors of hell, acharati atmana, he works for his own benefit and for the benefit of society, and tato, and then yati param gatim, he reaches the highest goal of life, highest purpose of life. So let us see, what is my goal, what is my purpose? That is the question one should ask. And, you know, we have discussed that many times, that our goal in life should not be limited. If I am limiting my goal of my purpose of my life just to me, myself and I, or me and my family, then I have not achieved life's purpose. In Bhaj Govindam, Shankaracharya ji very beautifully says, Kate Kanta Kaste Putra Sansaroyam Tiva Vichitra Kasya Tvam Kaha Kuta Ayata Tatvam Chintaya Itahi Brata. He says, oh brother, here Shankaracharya does not talk to us like a teacher. He says, oh brother, please think. Chintaya, what? Kate Kanta Kaste Putra, who is your wife and who is your child? What is my relationship to them? Sansaroya tima vichitra, and this society is so funny, so strange, because nobody thinks, kasya tum kaha, whom do you belong to, and who are you really, and kuta ayat, and from where have you come, whom do you belong to, what is your true nature, from where have you come, and where are you going. They say that we, all of us actually, as we said, are actually divine beings. We belong to God, and from Him we have all come. If you think about creation as real, of course some people say the world was not real, which we will not go into. But we are all divine souls. We all belong to that almighty mother or father, that God or goddess or mother, father. And we have come on this world to evolve spiritually. My purpose of life is to go back to my maker, to go back to my creator. That's why he says that that is your purpose in life. And the wife and children and family are co-travelers on my spiritual path. That is the whole purpose of family. The family is there together so that we may all evolve. So we may all become more spiritual. We may all become more divine. So that is what, so he says, think, why are you here? Are you here just to acquire, possess? Then, you know, you're living a life of, you know, just selfishness. And then you die and what have you achieved? If all I'm going to do is just take care of me, myself, and I and my family, then I have not achieved any purpose of life. My life is not Shreyas. Then I have lived a life of prayer. I've lived a life of desire, not lived a life of evolution. When I'm practicing Shreya, I am evolving. So there is a very beautiful story. It's a little long, but I'll try to tell it about these three things, lust, anger, and greed, how to overcome. So it is said that Brahmaji, the creator, you know, Prajapati, he created, you know, the gods, the humans and the demons. Actually, you know, we believe that it is your karmas that make you demon and gods. But let us assume for a moment, okay, the world was created. So Prajapati created gods, then he created humans, then he created demons. And after creating, he taught them, you know, how you have to live in the world and what you have to do. And before leaving, you know, on the convocation address, so they come and ask Prajapati, father, can you give us one final message, you know, before you send us? The devas are going to heaven, humans are going to earth, and the demons are going to the lower world. So can you give us a final message? You know, we always go to the teacher and say, give us one final. So Prajapati says, the, I didn't understand what is the. He said, all three of you, the. He said, no, you have to explain. So Prajapati says, okay, for the devas, they live a life of kama, they live a life of desire. In heaven, what is life in heaven? It is desire. You know, whatever you want gets fulfilled. You want pizza, you just do like that, and you get pizza from all parts of the world. You know, you want ice cream, you just say like that, and what flavor you want. Whether you want chocolate or pistachio, what toppings you, they just appear. Sometimes they say you don't even have to, like you want mango, you don't even have to go pluck the mango from the tree. You just say mango and you get the taste of mango. So you enjoy mango just sitting there. So in heaven, there is lot of kama, there is lot of desire, lust. So there this, he says, practice the means dama, practice self-control. So for devas, he says, what is the antidote of lust is self-control, dama. Then for the demons, you know, they get very angry, you know, krodha, remember anger. So he says for demons, it is daya. The, so instead of krodha, practice daya. So instead of anger, practice compassion. And for humans who have greed or lobha, he says practice danam. So the same the, but three messages. For devtas, it is dama. For demons, it is daya, and for humans, it is danam or charity. So what they are saying is that that's why in when we do the values for the children, we teach them a word called pratipaksha bhavana. I had mentioned that before also in this class, that whatever negativity you have in you, say you get very angry, start practicing compassion. If you find you are very possessive, start practicing charity. If you find that you are too much into, you know, self-indulgence, then practice self-control. So develop the pratipaksha bhavana. Develop these negative qualities, the opposite qualities, not negative, but the opposite qualities to what you have. So opposite of lust is self-control. Opposite of anger is daya, compassion. And opposite of greed is sharing or danam. So that is how you can express your divinity. Because as we said, we are all divine, but we have so many vasanas, so many tendencies. that I was born with in previous lifetimes, and then I accumulate and strengthen in this lifetime. But people say, what can I do? You know, I have so many vasanas from my previous birth. You know, I'm a helpless victim. Nobody is a helpless victim, because you accumulated these vasanas by your own effort. It's not that God somehow threw, you know, in his vasanas into you. Each one of us accumulates our own vasanas due to sustained wrong tendencies, wrong efforts. So as you consciously, you know, with your body you serve God, with your mind you love God, with your intellect you know God, slowly, slowly you turn your mind towards divinity. And God can be any form. It can be Krishna, Jesus, it can be Mother Goddess, it can be Shiva. It can even be formless. You know, some people say, I don't worship any particular form of God. I see God in all the humans. Oh, that's very good. Or you, I see God in all the animals and birds. And I have a friend of mine who every day feeds hundreds of cats. He feeds so many cats every day. He said, that is my service. Okay, that's all he's limiting himself to. But the point is that seeing the divinity within and without is how you express your divinity. And so as you serve the world, as you love everybody, as you get the right knowledge, slowly the vasanas get reduced, the tendencies get reduced, and also through meditation. That's why we encourage meditation in Chinmaya Mission, but because when you meditate, you actually destroy the vasanas, you destroy the negative tendencies. And it is this covering that shields me from the Lord, the divinity. Vasanas is like a layer, it is like a thick layer of negativity which shields me from the divinity. Divinity is everywhere, God is everywhere, but I am not able to see because of my selfishness, because of my greed. And so as you reduce the vasanas, that's why when you come in contact with these Mahatmas and saints, they have reduced their desires to a minimum. They live a life of minimum. That's why Swami Chinmayananda says, live in the minimum and create the maximum. The answer to your question, create the maximum, but not for myself. Give the entire thing to the world outside. That's what he says, live in the minimum, create the maximum, and give the entire thing to the world outside. So that is how, as you reduce your desires, selfish desires, the divinity comes closer and closer. So if I want to express my divinity, I reduce my desire. And then other benefit of reducing vasanas, because it is the vasanas that agitate, that get my mind disturbed. I want this, I want that, I don't have it, I don't have that. And so that leads to anger, greed, jealousy, all the negative. So as you reduce your vasanas, your mind and intellect becomes more quiet. The mind and intellect is not as much disturbed as it used to be. And as your mind and intellect becomes quiet, you are then able to contemplate. Then you are able to see, answer the question, what is my goal in life? What is my purpose in life? That is how you can express your divinity. So they say a quiet mind and intellect is then ready for contemplation, is ready for meditation, is ready for, you know, service, is doing the good. If my mind is disturbed, angry, agitated, I'm not good to anybody. I'm not good to myself. I'm not good to others. So as you reduce your vasanas, slowly your mind and intellect becomes quiet. And then a quiet mind and intellect is ready for the highest goal, the highest truth. That's why when they taught the Upanishads to these students, they used to tell them. Upanishad was not just taught on the street, you know, sadak pe jate hue. Oh, you want to learn Kathopanishad? No. They had to go to the forest and they had to serve the teacher and they had to live in the quiet environment where, you know, the river was flowing and the forest was there. So their mind should be made quiet, you know, through serving the teacher, through, you know, all that. So that is what they say, the quieter your mind, the closer you are to the truth. So that is how I express my divinity. The last thing I want to talk today about is feminine power. We are, of course, in the middle of Navratri. And, you know, in Navratri, we worship the Shakti, you know, the feminine power in the first 3 days, Durga, and then Lakshmi, and then Saraswati. The feminine power is very important in a household, because what happens is that men, we have a tendency to go out and possess and acquire and, you know, the anger and all that. But it is the woman of the house who is the source of calmness, who is the source of compassion. That's why all the feminine qualities, you know, all of them are daya, you know, shraddha, you know, santushti. They're all feminine qualities, you know, all of these. So that's what they're saying, that the woman in the house is the one that determines the quality of the household. What kind of children come out, you know, how the children are taught. Of course, I'm not saying that men don't have any responsibility to the house or to the children. Obviously, we both, you know, the men and the women together have to participate. But it is the feminine power that actually decides. And that's why women have a lot of responsibility to calm the situation. If there is anger, if there is conflict, if there is problems in the household. So that's why the Shakti is worshipped. That's why Shakti is worshipped all over, especially in India, you know, not only in these 9 days, but even otherwise. And it is that power that is needed. And we find that if the world has to get away from this conflicts and fights, if you look at the wars and the conflicts, they're all caused by men. You don't see women taking weapons and, you know, attacking others and all. A lot of the problems, so if the women have a, I'm not saying that men don't have a responsibility to prevent it, but women have a greater responsibility. And as if we, not only that, but even for men, we have to develop more feminine qualities. We have to develop qualities of love and compassion and sharing and contentment and love and, you know, spontaneous giving. Because that's what we find, that women generally give, you know, in a household. The women generally, they take, you know, they start serving their parents and then their husband and then their children. So harnessing feminine power is the answer to the world's problems. And developing these feminine qualities, even in men, even we need to develop these positive feminine qualities. Then the world will go in the right direction. Otherwise, we are headed for doom. So I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but I thought I would just mention that. That's why we worship the Mother Goddess, you know, these 9 days, because that is a symbolic, because the Mother Durga represents power. That means they say that's why they have 3 days and 3 days and 3 days. So the first 3 days we worship Mother Durga. Durga represents power. So I need power to destroy my negative tendencies. You know, we all have negative tendencies. So I need power to destroy my negative tendencies. But then what happens? Now my negative tendencies are gone and my mind is empty. I have no negative. So what do? I invoke Mother Lakshmi to fill it with wealth. And when we say wealth, it does not mean dollars and cents or pounds or rupees. Wealth is the positive qualities of love. That is what Lakshmi. So when I approach Mother Lakshmi, I should not ask her for more dollars and more cents and more pounds. Oh, Mother Lakshmi, may I have more love? May I have more compassion? May I have more sharing? May I have more consideration for others? May I have contentment? So once your negative tendencies are destroyed by Durga and then your heart is filled with love by Lakshmi, then you are ready for Saraswati. Then you are ready for knowledge. True knowledge only comes when your mind is pure. And so that is why that's the sequence. And it's very logically done. Our rishis, they didn't do anything illogically. Everything is perfect, you know, in our scriptures. So that is what, that's why it's a very good time to talk about the Navratri. It's a good time. So, any comments, any questions? We have a few minutes.
There is some sort of a common idea.
Mm-hmm.
To drive the society together.
Yes.
So what are those common ideas?
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, society is a collection of individuals who get together for a particular purpose or a collection of ideals. That is true. And that is why, like, America, you know, is one country. But hopefully they all have a similar goal. Of course, there will be differences. Democrats and Republicans and liberals and conservatives. But if the goal of that society is for the upliftment, like what Kennedy said, ask not what's good for the country, what's good for me, but what's good for the country. If everybody in that society has a common goal for upliftment of that country will do well. But if each one of them is thinking about what is good for me, and it doesn't matter, like even we find in Congress now, it's so bad. Each one is thinking of what is good for me and my party, and nobody is thinking what is the good for the country, whether the country shuts down or whether it goes into default. So when that kind of thinking comes, so society is a group of individuals, but the question is, do they have a goal for the benefit of the society or for putting each other down? So otherwise it becomes a conflict-ridden society. So and the majority of the people, how they think, that decides the society. But it is still a collection of individuals who bring, each one of them brings their own personal desires and tendencies. And that's why the scriptures like these guide us so that we all should move in the right direction. But that's a good point. Thank you. Yes.
So I think the goals of the society would be just to make sure that everyone has enough food, enough drink, enough comfort, and enough safety.
Yes. True. When it is not there, that's when all the problems arise. When a person doesn't get food or drink, then he fights. Yeah. That's true. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Kaschit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.